No one has died from a heart attack because their electronic pacemaker was hacked, but cybersecurity of medical devices still presents a potential danger. And that's why the Veterans Affairs Department and Underwriters Laboratories have signed an agreement to develop cybersecurity standards for these devices. Joining me with more, Anura Fernando, Principal Engineer for Medical Software and Systems Interoperability at UL. Mr. Fernando, great to have you on.
Morning, Tom. Thanks.
This is a CRADA. This is a Cooperative Research and Development Agreement program between VA and UL. What will you do under this agreement?
The main premise is to take a look at the new UL Cybersecurity Assurance Program that was launched earlier this year and to determine if that can be used to establish a baseline of cybersecurity hygiene across the industry, including supporting end users like the VA.
What is the danger in medical devices? How would you characterize it?
There are lots of different aspects of danger from a cybersecurity perspective. We've seen recently, ransomware in hospitals where care can actually be disrupted by malware taking control of hospital infrastructure and things like that. There are opportunities for control systems that may be directly tied to patients to be subverted and provide harm. And so there are a variety of different mechanisms by which malicious users can get into these systems and do a variety of different things that can ultimately lead to either loss of the continuity of healthcare to the patient, or it can actually directly do harm in terms of changing the medication dosages, changing electrical characteristics of therapies, changing the amount of energy transferred to a patient during therapeutic procedures and so forth.
So when you see someone laying in a hospital with all hooked up and there's all these monitors, those can be seen remotely, say at the nurse's station, and you can watch from the room. Those systems, they're transmitting data, they're gathering data, transmitting data, and in some cases, as you point out, providing feedback to control what is flowing into someone. Are those connected to the internet in any way?
Increasingly, they are. So even if they aren't directly connected to the internet, it's very important to understand how they may be indirectly connected, how other parts of the system may have network and therefore internet connections, especially as hospital IT infrastructure starts to converge with some of the clinical infrastructure. Keeping those separations is becoming increasingly difficult, and more, everything needs to be internet connected, or people want that connectivity for service and a variety of other things and devices.
And I suppose there's also the Stuxnet scenario where when, say, a device is updated and it might be done so with a external USB device, for example, then malware could get introduced at that point.
Exactly. Malware can be introduced, from the end-use perspective like that, and also, during the development process itself. So as medical devices are being manufactured, there are many opportunities along that process path for the introduction of malware. So doing some very, what seem to be basic things, like making sure that malware isn't in these products is one of the types of activities that manufacturers would go through under the UL Cybersecurity Assurance Program, which then would give an added level of confidence to VA that some of these very basic problems wouldn't exist with products that they procure.
We're speaking with Anura Fernando, Principal Engineer for Medical Software and Systems Interoperability at the Underwriters Laboratories. And under this CRADA, under this Cooperative Research Agreement, what will the VA role be here?
The VA is one of the largest healthcare providers in the world. Provides really a good diversity of use cases that we can use to study and understand what the cybersecurity issues and needs are to ensure that the UL Cybersecurity Assurance Program is well matched to the types of needs that we see with various devices and the very, very different use cases that each type of device may be associated with. So VA's that help helping us in that regard to improve the program, improve the requirements, et cetera. And by the same token, you know, we're taking input on the program and then providing them with information that helps them to increase their cybersecurity awareness and their general cybersecurity posture.
And what about the device manufacturers themselves?
At the device manufacturers also, you know, if you look at some of the statistics, you'll see that a lot of known vulnerabilities, for example, sort of creep into medical devices from third-party software, in some cases, you know, places that manufacturers might not even realize or recognize to look initially. And so, you know, part of the UL Cybersecurity Assurance Program is to look at really the bill of materials of what's in a medical device. And we see situations where, in some instances, you know, manufacturers may not be aware that some of these vulnerabilities have been introduced into their device through their supply chain, and so it's helpful to them as well.
A lot of the chips for these things come from China. We already worry about cyber attacks on the internet front there.
Sure, yeah. You know, the global supply chain is a growing area of concern. You know, keeping tabs on where things are coming from into your product is an important aspect of basic cybersecurity hygiene.
Do you envision the output of this research to be procedures or standards for device manufacturers? And if there are standards, what's the envisioned enforcement mechanism to make sure that what is procured by VA, I guess, and other healthcare organizations meet those standards?
Yeah, so we currently have a series of documents that we've published called the UL 2900 series. They're what we call outlines of investigation. They are a pre-consensus body set of documents around which UL can do certifications. As I said, they're called outlines of investigation, meaning that UL can do its certification investigations to those requirements. Now, as pre-consensus documents, this provides opportunity for all kinds of stakeholders, including end users like the VA, to provide input and to help us improve them and so forth before they become sort of formal ANSI standards. And so we're really gathering that information, you know, and trying to improve upon this base set of requirements that has been established under the UL 2900 series to determine exactly what is needed to establish this baseline of cybersecurity hygiene within the industry, and then also to continuously improve upon that as the landscape changes.
And will the intellectual property that comes out of this effort be in the open source domain?
Standards are publicly available. They're not open source per se. They're available at minimal cost. And, you know, that's how most international standards, also like ISO and IEC and things like that, work. So this is going to fit into that same type of a model.
And do you have a timeline for all of this?
The plan is to have the CRADA completed by the end of this year, at the end of 2016.
So that's the agreement or the standards at that point?
That's the research that's being done to further inform the outlines of investigation.
So this is not going to take years and years and years. You expect to have something basically in a few months.
Right. And that was the premise when we originally started the UL Cybersecurity Assurance Program as well. We really started that in early 2015, and then by early 2016, we had these outlines of investigation published.
Nora Fernando is Principal Engineer for Medical Software and Systems Interoperability at UL. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.